We are doing Pirkei Avot. We're holding the second chapter, the fourth Mishnah. And we were learning quotes of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Who Haya Omer, he used to say, Aseh Ritzono Kirtzonecha. Perform God's will as though it were your own will. Kedei She'aseh Ritzoncha Kirtzono. So that when God is in the picture, he'll do your will as though it were his will. Batel Ritzoncha Mipnei Ritzono. Undo your will for the sake of his will. So that he undoes others' wills for the sake of your will. Very often throughout the day we're at odds between what God wants and what we want. Do I go to Minyan or do I miss Minyan? I'd much rather stay in bed and miss Minyan. It starts from the moment we open our eyes. Do I leave Minyan early? I want to get there to breakfast first and get the food, or I always have a million things to do, or do I stay till the end? Do I show up to class on time? Do I not show up to class on time? Do I bench with Kavana or do I not bench with Kavana? There are always questions of where we are going to invest our efforts. And the Tana is telling us a general rule. Perform his will as though it were your own. Meaning, very often it isn't. I'd much rather be doing something else. But the rule is perform as though it is. And then when you want something and you turn to him, then God will return in kind. And then when there's a direct conflict, where it's not just a question of how I perform, but whether I perform, so then one has to be prepared to forego his will for the sake of God's will. And that's the basic rule of Judaism. But the Tana is giving us encouragement. He's telling us, you do that, and when the time comes that it's a question of what you want or others want, you're competing for a job, God will say, well, he's always forgone his will for me, so we'll forego others' wills for his will. So it gets us brownie points in heaven, however that works. But that's encouragement. The basic rule is that's a general rule in performance of mitzvot. Mishnah Hey, Hillel Omer. We all know Hillel, right? He lived in great poverty. He studied under Shmaya and Avtalion. Then he made Aliyah, came to Israel. They had a question one Passover, how they're going to bring the Paschal offering. No one knew except for him. And the chief rabbi said, well, you know more than us. You become the chief rabbi. And he became the Nasi, and he became very wealthy. So Hillel says, Al tifrosh min hatzibur. Don't separate yourself from the congregation. The general congregation is doing something, join them. Everyone's going on a tiyul, so go with them. Everyone's participating in a mitzvah, go with them. V'al tamin b'atzmecha, and don't have faith in yourself ad yom motcha, till the day you die. Very often a person comes to Machon Meir, he learns late at Thursday night, he's a big tzaddik, he wakes up early Friday morning for the Friday class. Shabbos he's learning, he spends a few good months learning Torah, and then he says, now I'm ready. And then he goes off to live in a place where there are no Jews, and he says, it's not going to affect me. What's the problem? I've learned Torah. I can handle it. Chazal tell us, al ta'min be'atzmecha ad yom motcha. A person should not have faith in himself till the day he dies. You never know where you'll end up. And that applies to me, to you, to everyone. Hillel said this. Hillel said, don't have faith in yourself. Don't put yourself in situations of test. A person has to try to put himself in situations which will be conducive to his avodas Hashem. A person can't have faith in himself. You guys know the story about the girl I dated, right? I've said it many times. Yeah, Ephraim knows the story, right? I was dating a girl, and after like two or three dates, she says, look, I want a husband that's going to be learning Torah. What are you going to be? She does. Where do you see yourself in 20 years? So I said, 20 years? Boy, that's a big number. I don't know where I'm going to be in 20 years. She says, you're not going to be learning Torah in 20 years. I said, well, I hope I'll be learning Torah in 20 years, but do I know if I'll be religious in 20 years? I know that yesterday I learned Torah, the day before I learned Torah. So far, pretty good. But what'll be tomorrow? I don't know what'll be tomorrow. He asked me, 20 years? Every morning I wake up, and every morning there's this malach standing next to my bed called the Yetzer Hara. He looks me in the eye and says, I'm going to get you today. Sometimes he gets me more, sometimes he gets me less. Do I know when he'll succeed? Do I know if I'll succeed? Every morning he wakes up fresh. Do I wake up fresh every morning? Some mornings I look at him and I say, you won, right? No, we can't say you won, but do I know for 20 years whether I'm going to stand up to him? I don't know. So I can't guarantee you I'll be learning Torah in 20 years. I don't know. I hope so. I'd like to think so. I want to be learning Torah in 20 years. But do I know, can I sign a piece of paper 20 years from now I'll be learning Torah? So she looks at me and she says, okay. And of course, at the end of that date, it was over. Baruch Hashem, I tried to set her up with her husband. Someone else beat me to it. and she's happily married, and Baruch Hashem, her husband's learning Torah, and I wish them well till 120. I'm good friends with her husband. So I'm very happy for them. But I believe that her question was in contradiction with this Mishnah. Al tamin ba'atzachad yom motcha. You can't have faith in yourself till the day you die. You know where you'll be in 20 years? Who knows? So I hope her husband said he'd be there in 20 years, and I wish him that he'll be there in 20 years. I hope so. But the Tana taught us a person should never have faith in himself. You never know where we'll be. Ve'al tadun et chavechad shetegel limkomo. And don't judge your friend till you're in his place. You know, it's very easy when we're not in someone else's shoes to judge them. I remember when our first boy was born. So after about 2 weeks of spending half the night up holding him, I got to shul and I met a friend of mine, and I said to him, you know, I always saw these married guys coming to shul late, and I'd look at them and think, boy, you can't make it to shul on time, what's going on? And today, I look at a married person who has kids, who makes it to shul, and I say, boy, who knows if he got any sleep? The guy's coming to shul, it's such a feat to come to shul. Every morning I come, I feel like, wow, you know, no one knows that I'm coming after zero sleep, 1 hour sleep, 2 hours sleep. No one knows. So it's very easy to judge someone when you're not there. The Tana taught us, don't judge your friend till you reach his place. Yes?
It's the saying, it says, when you judge someone, walk a mile in the shoes. That way, once you judge them, they're a mile away, they
will. Yeah?
I couldn't judge anyone.
What? You're saying, even if you're in his place, how could you judge him?
No. How can anyone judge him? When can we judge? You never judge.
That's a good question. I think the answer lies in which Mishnah? Just a second. In the Mishnah that says, "Evedan et kol adam nekav zchut," I think it's the first chapter. So over there, the Rambam discusses when and how you could judge. So we did that Mishnah. I'm just trying to find it. And the Chafetz Chaim in Ilchot Lashon Hara, I think the third chapter. I just learned it recently. Unfortunately, I don't know the Chafetz Chaim by heart, but I just learned it recently. I think in the fourth chapter, he quotes that Rambam la'alacha on the fourth chapter of Shmirat HaLashon. On the Mishnah, ve'ved dan et kol adam nekav zchut. Where is it? I'm not finding it now, but for some reason I think it's in the first chapter. I think we even learned it. I'm not finding it now, but I have to look for it. I think on that Mishnah, the Rambam discusses how we judge people. There's also a machloket, there's the Rambam, there's the Rabbein Yonah here. It's in the first chapter, the sixth Mishnah. Over there, the Rambam goes into how and when we judge someone, and I think that might be what this Mishnah is talking about, possibly. Maybe we have to combine this Mishnah with that Mishnah. Maybe. I'm not sure, but maybe. Val Tomar says the Tana, says Hillel Anasi. Val Tomar Dvar Sheif Shal Lishma V'Sofo Lishama. And we'll wait till we see the Rambam to define that sentence. V'al tomar lich she'efne shne. Don't say, when I have a break, then I'll learn Torah. Hashem alo tipaneh. Maybe you'll never have a break. If a person is going to wait for it to be convenient in order to learn, he might never learn. So in life, kalpe diem, right? Seize the day. You have to seize the moment. The learning has to be first. And then when I find time, I'll take a break. When I find time, I'll do the other things. I'll check my Facebook account. I'll go on to who knows where. Right? If that comes first, and when I have time, I'll get to the learning, I'll never get to the learning. But if the learning comes first, so then I'll get to the learning, and that's one understanding. And the other understanding is very simply, a person has to make time for his learning, even if he isn't busy with such important things as Facebook. Even if he's busy with the important things called Parnasa, he's busy with making a livelihood, with taking care of his family, he still has to know that he cannot live his life saying, when I have time, I will learn. You might never have time. And not because you're busy with Facebook, but maybe because you're busy with life. I can tell you that a person always has to take advantage of his time to learn Torah, and a person in our day and age has it easier than ever before. I mean, I've been in situations where I was in the hospital with family members, and you know what? When you go from ward to ward, you could learn Torah. You have an MP3 player. I learned. I still remember the shir I was listening to when I was going from ward to ward. You could learn. There's no excuse. On your way to a bus stop, you could learn. Today, it's easier than ever. It's never been as easy as today to learn Torah. Just download Shiurim on an MP3 player, and if you don't have one, then I have a gemach. You could borrow one. There's no excuse not to learn Torah. So don't wait for yourself to have free time. Obviously, it's better to take time and learn solidly. But if a person in his life is always going to wait for that break, it might never come. Tells us the Rambam. We already discussed in the fourth chapter of our introduction that one should never break off from the congregation in a mechamat shchitutam, unless they are completely decrepit. If mankind, you live in a community of Sodom, people are stealing from one another, people are harming one another, then you got to separate from them, even if it means living like a hermit. You have no choice. But in general, the rule is, don't separate. That's the first thing Hillel told us. Be part of a congregation. And that's a very important point to remember. When you choose where to live, where you choose where to bring up your kids, even where you choose where to live as a bachelor, don't go to some place that the rent is cheap, but the community is cheap too. You got to get good quality people. If you could find that for cheap, great. There's no mitzvah to spend extra money. But you have to have a congregation. Al tifrosh min hatzibur, because you shouldn't break off from the congregation. Amar, ki af al pi sheniknet lo la'adam b'nafsho tchuna na'ala v'nitchazka. The Rambam says, and that which Hillel said, don't have faith in yourself till the day you die, it means even if you've acquired a trait that's very strong. A person started out his life eating non-kosher, and then he decided, I'm eating kosher. So after 2 or 3 years of eating kosher, he's confident, I'm never going to go back to my old ways. A person used to speak Lashon Hara, used to speak badly about people. He spent 2 years working on it, and now he's so meticulous about what he says and what he doesn't say. You ask him, have you conquered the trait? He might say yes. Tells us, Hillel, do not have faith in yourself till the day you die. Even if you've been working on something and you've been successful, we're talking about when you've been successful, nonetheless, lo yichdal milachzor al asiyat hatov, a person shouldn't stop trying to do good, kedei lo sifa chozik, in order to add strength. Yes?
What is the next reason? Why are these things happening? For example, if you're learning 2 years, it sounds like a reasonable amount of time. And then why do people fall?
Life is filled with ups and downs. Part of life is that we go up and down. But if we stay connected, if we stay connected with the community, if we keep going to Minyan, if we keep learning, so sometimes we won't feel like learning. Sometimes we have to know when we fall to put ourselves into autopilot. I don't feel like going down, I don't feel like putting on tefillin, but I know that this is going to pass. I'm mature enough to know that this is a passing thing, especially when a person does tshuva or does gear. So it's all new, and it's much more difficult. You ask a person who was born Orthodox, so then it's in his blood that every morning he wakes up and davens. Sometimes he'll go and his lips will move and he'll go back home and you'll ask him, did you daven? And he'll have to stop and think. And he'll say, yeah, I guess I did, yeah. Right? I mean, my lips moved. I stood in the shul. I shook around and I said the words. Did I connect with my Creator? Maybe not. But at the end of the day, because he's been brought up that way, he doesn't have to worry as much. He still has the rule of Hillel, don't have faith in yourself. But at the same time, there is that aspect where it's in his blood. That's the way he lives his life. When a person does tshuva or does giur, so then it's not in his blood. You can't compare something that you've been doing since the day you knew you understood life, since you started having understanding, to something you started doing when you were 15 or 18 or 25 or 35. Then it's new. Then it's more difficult. Then we spend our life doing something which is new to us. And then the falls are far more common, and that's when we have to apply the rule. If I'm falling, let me shift into autopilot. Let me do what I know I should be doing, even though right now I'm not connecting to it. And that's part of life. So the Rambam is saying, if you don't want to go down, so then you should always be working to go up. A person shouldn't reach this level where he feels like, oh, I'm okay. I chazered Shas 30 times this year. I've already chazered all of Shulchan Aruch 15 times this year, aside from the 30 times last year and the year before. Now, come on, I've got it down pat, I know it. Tells us the Rambam, no, even on something you're strong on, even a guy who's chazer chas 30 times this year, and we're only 3 months into the year, 2 months into the year, even a guy who's done that, don't have faith in yourself. No one could have faith in themselves. Even a person like Hillel HaNasi, he's the leader of the Jewish people, he says, you always have to work, you always have to work to perfect, to make better. And if the rule in life is if you ain't going up, you're going down. If you're not working to go up, if a person isn't fighting to work his way up, then he's going down. There's never status quo. Sometimes you're working to go up. You know, it's like a car on a hill. You give a drop of gas, so the car doesn't roll backwards and doesn't have enough gas to go up. So sometimes the force that you're trying to go up is what's going to keep you from going down. But you always have to work to go up. And that's life. That's the way Hashem created us. Hashem created the world as a world of challenges. You never reach a point of plateau. Now it's easy. Never. No one. Not only me and you, but even great people. I mean, I didn't mean you're not a great person. I mean, even people who have attained the great heights, who are the leaders of the Jewish people, even they had ups and downs. David HaMelech had ups and downs. David HaMelech at one point thought of throwing in the towel. And then his Rebbe came and gave him over the head and said, nope, don't do it. Chazal tell us everyone has points in their life, breaking points. We discussed this a few weeks ago, even Onkelos. Onkelos at one point, you remember the story? Were you here?
I'm afraid not. Yeah.
So am I. Okay. So it says Onkelos at one point was learning and he came across the verse that says, God loves the ger, he gives him bread and clothing. Now Onkelos came from family of royalty. He was the nephew of the Caesar. And when he became a Jew, the Caesar wasn't very pleased with him. He had to run for his life. The Caesar tried to kill him. So Onkelos reaches this verse and he's just risked his life becoming Jewish. And he comes to the rabbis and he says, this is all I'm going to get? I had this before I became Jewish. God says, I love the ger, I will give him a garment, I will give him bread. So the first Rebbe he comes to tells him, what do you mean? That's a very important gift. Yaakov Avinu, when he was running for his life, what did he pray for? He said, God, God, if you'll only give me food to eat and clothing to wear, then I will make a temple in your name, etc. He makes all these promises. That's not so simple to have bread and a garment. So Onkelos walks out and he's pretty upset and he's ready to throw in the towel. And then he goes to another Rebbe of his and he asks him, this is all I'm going to get? Bread and a garment? So he says, what do you mean? You know what the Pasuk is telling you. The Pasuk is telling you that you, because you became a ger, you could marry a beautiful Jewish girl. And your daughter could marry a Kohen. And your grandchildren could still be a Kohen Gadol. God says, I will give him a bread, I will give him a garment. That means that you could still see your own grandchildren taking the bread, the holiest bread the Jews have, the bread of the temple, and wearing the holiest garments, the garments of the Kohen Gadol. That's what God is saying, that God loves the ger and he gives them the potential to have grandchildren that are Kohanim Gadolim. You can marry the greatest girl and have the greatest children and your grandchildren will be Kohanim Gadolim. So that's what God is telling you, you could have bread and you could have garments. Says the Medrash, that Rebbe kept Onkelos on the path. You see that even the great Onkelos, we have a mitzvah Rabbanon every week to read his commentary on Chumash. Right? Shnai Mikra ve'chat Targum. We're supposed to read the Parsha twice with the Targum once. Even he, at one point, he had it very hard. So every person has ups and has downs and has to know what to do with his downs. And if he goes to his Rebbe and he gets an answer that he's not pleased with, so go to another Rebbe that you don't throw in the towel. Okay, back to the Rambam. The Ali Yiftach v'yomar hamidah na'ala zo kfar husga. A person shouldn't have confidence and say, I've already attained this trait. Ve'lo yitachen shetasur. A person shouldn't think, nah, I've accomplished this. I am never going to get angry again. I'm never going to be an alcoholic again. You've worked 15 years, you haven't touched the bottle. Don't assume that you've conquered it. A person always has to be on guard. Kiev shal shetasur. Could be he'll lose it. I know people who stopped smoking for 30 years. And today they're smoking again. So you never know. It's a difficult thing. Even when a person conquers something, the Mishnah tells us, don't have faith till the day you die. Vehu umro ad yom motcha. And that's why the Tanna says, till the day you die. V'davar shiv shalo lishmoa, hu sheyei pshatan shedvarim rachok v'nifsad. When Hillel said, don't say something that cannot be heard. He meant don't say something that on the surface sounds wrong, sounds harmful. Something you sometimes say something where if you look into it, you could recognize that it's correct. But on the surface it sounds wrong. So Hillel warned us, do not talk that way. Sometimes people like to talk in a fantastic fashion. You know there are 7 books of the Torah? You know there are 7 books of the Torah? So people can say, what do you mean there are 5 books of the Torah? No, there are 7. What are they added to? So Chazal tell us that you break down the book of Devarim into 3 books. Yeah. The book of Bamidbar into 3 books, right? Before Vayibin Saron and the Parsha Vayibin Saron and after Vayibin Saron. So you end up with 7 books. There's a place where Chazal say the Torah is broken down to 7 books. Fine. But if I walk in here and I say, gentlemen, do you all have your 7 books of the Torah with you? And you all look at me, what's wrong with him? So I've said something right. But Chazal say, don't say things that sound fantastic and that sound wrong, even though if you look into them, you'll see they're right. Uchilu amar, and it's as though Hillel would have told us, lo yehi, lo dvarecha tzrichim deyu. Don't say things that people have to explain them. Don't say things that need a distant explanation and a lot of depth in order to be understood. And then Hillel said, don't say kshef nesh nek, kshet panim nasakim elalu. When I have time for my businesses, then I'll learn. And this is like what Shammai taught us, that the Torah is what should have permanence in our life. A person has to set up his schedule on the day. He begins by saying, what am I learning today? And then work the schedule around that. The Torah has to be keva, the permanent part of a person's day. Yes?
Thank you.
It's a good question. Let's save that for question and answer. Okay? Hu yomer mishnavav. Hillel used to say, en bur yirechet. A person who's a boor. What's a boor? Fallow. A person who's got nothing to him, he cannot be a fearful of sin. Velo amaretz chasid, and a person who's not maretz, he cannot be a righteous person, a pious person. Velo abayshan lamed, and if you're too bashful, a bashful person won't learn. Velo kaptan milamed, and a person who's too strict can't teach. Velo kol amarbe bischora machkim, and if you do a lot of business, that's not what's not everyone that does that is going to get smart. Uvimkom shein anashim ishtadel yotish, and if you're in a place where there are no men, then ishtadel, and we'll define that word in a minute, to be a man. Says the Rambam. Hillel said, a boor is not going to be fearful of sin. A boor, says the Rambam, hushen bo lo chokhma velo midot. That's a person who has no wisdom, but also is not refined in his behavior. He doesn't know how to behave. So if you're a boor, meaning he doesn't have not wisdom, nor common courtesy, a person doesn't know how to behave, he cannot be fearful of sin. So you need some of that, some of derech eretz, knowing how to behave. What is an Am Haaretz? Says the Rambam, Shein bo ma'alot egyoniot, v'yesh bo mitzat ma'alot midotiyot. He doesn't have the logical traits, the things that a person will attain if he thinks about his behavior. So those are forms of politeness that a person who thinks about how he behaves, he attains them. But he does have some good traits. An Am Haaretz is a person who does have some good traits. He's not like a boor. So he could be fearful of sin, because he at least knows how to behave as a human being, but he cannot be pious because he hasn't learned. A Baishan is a person who is bashful. The Rambam explains that a Baishan is someone who is so bashful that when a newcomer approaches him, he starts shivering. He's the epitome of bashfulness. So that, says the Rambam, a person who is so bashful won't be able to learn. And a person who is a kapdan, a person who gets angry. You can't learn by someone who gets angry. If you're always scared he's going to yell at you, then it's very hard to learn by him. Yeah? Right. So, what? No. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know what the Rambam does with it. I don't know. Maybe that's why the Rambam says that the Baishan over here is the extreme Baishan. But I don't know what the Rambam would say on that Gemara that says that the Jews are Baishanim, Rachmanim, Gomlei Chassadim. I don't know if the Rambam says that is also this form of extreme bashfulness. I don't think so, but that's my guess. I don't have a proof. The Mishnah said, where there are no men, Hishtadel, says the Rambam, Hishtadel means He'avek im atzmecha, fight with yourself to be a man. Meaning there are no men around, the person has to fight with himself and be the man. Umshochet asmecha lirchishat ha'malot, and pull yourself to attain the elevated statures. Kivan she'en sham melamdim she'yelamducha, if there's no one around to teach you, yatam lamed la'atzmecha, then you teach yourself. You're going to the army. Who's going to teach you? You're sitting there and you're asking yourself, wait a second, I'm eating a candy bar that has a little bit of a wafer inside. Do I make a mazonos or not? So you have no Rebbe there who's going to teach you. So fight with yourself and teach yourself. Get a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch and learn it. You need to know the halachas, so learn them. So the verse that says, Vayavek ishimo, a man fought with him, so it's translated as, Ishtadel givari me. So you see, Ishtadel means fight with yourself. If there are no men around, fight with yourself to be a man. Amru, our sages taught us, Shelo timtza Torah lo... In modern Hebrew it's used, but really it's Aramaic. Our sages taught us that you won't find the Torah lo b'balei hagava, not by people who are haughty, v'gasut haruach, or people who are crass, v'lo b'nosim la'atzot rechokot, or people who travel to distant places. People who are proud, people who are haughty, people who travel, you won't find Torah by them. V'esmichu tzela pasuk al derech hamlitza, v'hu omro, and our sages aligned it to the verse that says, lo v'ashamayimi, the Torah isn't in the heavens, v'lo mever layami, nor is it across the sea. The Amru, our sages explained, what does it mean it's not in the heavens? Lo b'kasei haruach, you won't find it with someone whose nose is in the clouds, someone who's proud, and that's why he's in the heavens. V'lo b'malchei mever layami, nor with those who do business, and that is the last point that Hillel told us, that a person shouldn't say, a person shouldn't think that if he does a lot of business, he'll become very smart. You cannot assume that if you do business, usually you do not grow in your Torah. You want to grow in Torah, you have to take off time from your business. But very often people think, I'll do business and I'll learn. That doesn't work very often. So the Rambam says, that's pshat in what Hillel said, lo cholam arbe bischoa machkim. If you do too much business, then you don't become too smart.